Amen. Welcome,
Amen.
congregation. The title of our message this morning says, All for Us, but Not About Us. I was encouraged some days after I received this title that we bought a CD, and I was just like speechless when I hear the song, Not to Us, but to Your Name. You know, and that was like,
amen.
Amen. You know, amen. I just thank God that He confirms His word. And it was a sign and a wonder for me. Okay. I will just lay the foundation, and the message is the way it is. Whether you find it to be encouraging, whether you find it as a correction, it's fine. But let's receive the word of God that is able to save our souls. Amen.
Amen.
So, just a little highlight on the story of creation. We know that all things were created for Jesus. And the Bible says nothing that was made without Him. So they were created by Him and for Him. And we were then created for Him. It is not only when we get born again, just because of the redemption work that He gets to own people. All of us belong to Him. All creation belongs to Jesus. So that's why even in the book of John, He says He came to His own. That means He came to His mankind, and His own did not receive Him. So He came to redeem what was already His. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, let us go there. It talks about now the purpose of Jesus coming to redeem what is His. It's Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. For me, when I read that part, I just realized that it's talking about restoration. To order it and establish it with judgment and justice. And that we have received through Jesus Christ. Because in Jesus Christ we were judged. And He established His justice to justify us now as free because of what He suffered. So it's about justice and the judgment. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And God, His mighty hand will perform this. His zeal, His power, His authority, His zeal will perform this. And it's not about us. It is about God doing His restoration work. Amen. So I want also to touch on the story of Christmas as it comes here, that He came to us as a child and the Son of God was given to us. He was born as a child and the Son of God was given to us. So the restoration came to ensure that all that Adam lost was now restored. When we look in the Bible, we see the Bible is sectioned. There's the Old Testament with the books of Moses and the prophets, and you know, that goes into the order that God has made. And one thing that we understand from the scripture is that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and the prophets. I will just zoom a little bit on that. The Bible says, Sila, like, think about this. I'm just going to highlight some few scriptures where we understand that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and the prophets. For example, I'll go here and then I'll go to the New Testament and back. So I won't have it in an order as such. So throughout His life, and as Jesus was also talking and telling His disciples that He's going to the cross, just points out this was done so that it can be fulfilled, which was said by the prophet Isaiah, which was said as it is written, even in the book of Acts. They reflect and tell us that this was so that it was to be fulfilled, what was said. So throughout then the way to the cross, Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. I'll just take one example. As a living sacrifice, as a perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ was slaughtered. And when you look at how it happened, for the time that the Lamb was supposed to be slaughtered and the process that the Lamb would go through, being searched by the priests and taken to then to be handled by the sinner. So Jesus went to be crucified by Gentiles, sinners. Mm-hmm. And when you look at all that, you see the fulfillment of him as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for our sins, mm-hmm. that we may be redeemed. So he fulfilled that as a perfect Lamb of God. Even through that process, he fulfilled, and through the cross, he triumphed, nailing the law on the cross. Amen. He even concluded and said, "It is finished." So these stories, you see the glory of God when you look now with an understanding of what were the requirements of the law and what we are experiencing or we have experienced and seen fulfilled in Jesus. And then the prophets, they were declaring. And what I realized as I was reading this, and it just resonated in my spirit, that we are encouraged to declare the word of God. And when you look in the book of Isaiah and even in Psalms, but I'll zoom a bit more on Isaiah, his word or his prophecies on Jesus were declarations, saying things that be not as though they were. And that's what Isaiah was saying. Okay, I'll start with Psalm. It says in Psalm 107, verse 20, "He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." That is saying things that were coming to be fulfilled by Jesus. So they were declaring it there. And that just gave me that confidence. And the Bible says, "You shall decree a thing, it shall be so." Yeah. So we must continue to declare the word of God and say it, and it shall be so. That's one example. And then another example in the book of Isaiah 55 is speaking about that the word shall not return to God void, but it shall accomplish that which he sent it for. And we know that Jesus Christ is the word of God, and he came and he accomplished what he was sent to accomplish. And now we live with the word of God. We have the Bible, we have the written word, we have the voice of God speaking to us. And we say that word agreeing with him and declaring. When he says it is well, we say it is well. Mm-hmm. You know, when he says you are blessed, we say we are blessed. Mm-hmm. And we know that he is not a liar. He is not a man that he should lie. So we say what he says, and we know that he has made all things to work together for our good. So we receive of all his goodness. Amen. Amen. Another example that I wanted to touch is also in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 12, the whole scripture towards the end. It says, "The Lord has become my salvation." Mm-hmm. He has become. So Isaiah was saying, "It is done." He has become my salvation. And we see that fulfilled completely now in Jesus Christ. Because anyway, God has been their salvation from old. From old, God has been there and restoring what was lost in Adam and helping his people throughout. Amen. And then the wonderful one as well in the book of Jeremiah, where he talks about how God will restore Israel and writing his laws in their hearts, and that their sins he will remember no more. And in the book of Hebrews, that is also confirmed, that I will be their God, and their unrighteousness and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So that's what we have. That was declared, and that's what we see now. Because in the book of Psalms, the Bible says that blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin upon him. So we are that man now, that God does not impute sin upon us, but God has given us Jesus Christ, and he judged him on that cross on our behalf. We were in him, and we are now free and declared righteous by God. Amen. And he remembers our sin no more. So with all these riches, you know, we are blessed to know this God, to know this truth. We are blessed to be the vessels that God has chosen to be molded and washed by him. And then it says in the book of Isaiah, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And this is what the Lord says now. In the book of John, he says, John was not the light, but Jesus was that light that was supposed to come. The light has come. We have the light now. And Jesus Christ is our light. We shine and arise in the brightness of his rising in us. You know, it is a wonderful thing to look in the Word of God. Out of all these scriptures and others that you can look at and reflect on, yeah, this is confirmed, this is fulfilled. Now, throughout these precious promises that we see that God wants us to take hold of the purposes that he has called us to. And he did it all for us. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why it is all for us. That's the first section of the message. It's all for us. Amen. Now, when it comes to, it's not about us. It is all about Jesus. All things were made for Jesus. We are partakers in his divine nature. And then we are the people that God has raised up. For this time especially, we need to understand we have been raised up to be his body and fulfill his work. So it's all about Jesus. And let us read in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Hallelujah. Okay, just to give better background, let's start in verse 1. It says, therefore, which comes from the previous section, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run. This is a point where I want us to go to. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen.
Amen.
So we are to run. God, I mean, when we go into business ventures or, you know, like companies, they have a vision. They write their vision on pillars. And anyway, in the Bible, we know that that's where we get these things, to say, have a vision written down so that he may run who looks at it. So we have the vision of God. The Bible says, look unto Jesus. If you think there is no vision in the Bible, it says, looking unto Jesus.
Yeah.
As you look unto Jesus, you're looking at what did he stand for? What did he do on earth? He gave a great commission. So there are visions and missions. That's why you have a vision, mission. This is what the world has adopted from the Bible. And we have a great commission, which is our mission that Jesus Christ gave us. He said, go into all the world. That's our mission. Go into all the world, preaching and making disciples in my name. That's all that we need to be about. Making disciples in my name. The work has been done and we are him now. You know, like in a relay, somebody gives a baton to the other one to say, continue, finish the race. That's how Jesus has done with us. He has given us the baton to now run and fulfill his purposes. And that's why in the book of Ephesians it says we are called. It is His calling that our eyes may be enlightened to know the riches of His inheritance, because it's all about His calling.
Mm.
So we need to understand the call of Jesus. What was He coming here for? He came to His own. That was His purpose. He came to His own to restore His own. And that's you and me.
Mm.
And so that we can reach out now to others and spread the word. Amen. So He multiplied, as it says in the book of Matthew, where it talks about the seed, that if it doesn't die, it will not multiply. But it must go down and die. And you might think that, oh, it's lost. But as it dies, it then multiplies. And that's what He did. He came, He died. And we now are the harvest that has come from Him. Amen. And I would like us just to look at an example of a person now that we can refer to as a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. This is the Apostle Paul. And as we look into what Jesus Christ came to do on earth, in the earth He was establishing and preparing for the new covenant that He came to make from the beginning of His death. Then He was fulfilling everything as a sacrifice for this covenant, and it is a covenant made in His blood. And then we understand then that the letters and the word that He gave to the apostles, the epistles, are the word that we need to look at. So how now do we walk in this new covenant? So in this scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it." That is the prize. "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." So here the Apostle Paul is indicating the discipline of a runner, that you need to look and know where you're going. And unfortunately, the body of Christ has a lot of issues. We end up looking at things that are about, how is she running? What is she doing? You know, we just end up looking and pinpointing at things and setting standards that are not even biblical, and we then trip ourselves in the things that are not necessary. And the Bible says, let us make sure that we do not frustrate the grace of God. That is in Galatians. The things that we put, the Christianese things that are done to say, this is how it should be, this is what. Well, maybe they help in the order, but unfortunately, some of these things, they end up being snares.
Yeah.
That people of God cannot now just serve God freely and run with the vision of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But we need to fulfill this and this, and then we are just ensnared by all these things that we must do. But the Bible says, I make sure that I'm disciplined and I'm focused on obtaining the prize. And I put my body into subjection. It's about looking into, what are you doing? You. What am I doing to fulfill my destiny, to run my race? And it says, as we started reading, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When we look on the sides, we get distracted. But when you look at the goal, where you're going, you can be even faster, because you won't be thinking about every other thing on the side. Amen.
Amen.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ."
Amen.
So if you don't know how to run as a Christian. Look into the words that the Apostle Paul has said. And as you imitate him in what he says we can do as Christians, then let us imitate him as he imitates Christ. And for him, he had that first revelation from God. He was crucifying the church before. And then he came to be saved powerfully, seeing the light of God just by Jesus and his power. And he was a great example for what the power of God can do in a person's life, changing them and restoring them, the grace of God, putting them into a place where they do not deserve. And after he had participated in murdering the people of God, and yet God showing his great mercy to put him here and say, this is my love, this is my grace, spread this word, your sins and your iniquities I remember no more. And those things, you find them here with the Apostle Paul and also the Apostle Peter, referring to the Old Testament, these things, especially in the book of Hebrews, we see that they are fulfilled in Christ. Amen. So we need to imitate the apostles as they imitate Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. We now know that we are the sons of God. We were born and bought with a price. Amen. This section, just before chapter 4, the section from verse 26 in chapter 3, it talks about sons and heirs of God, that is according to the promise. So chapter 4, verse 7, it says, therefore you are no longer slaves, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And as I said, it is now through us. That's the last section of this message. It is now through us as sons and as this harvest, this multiplication that Jesus came to have with us. He multiplied himself in us. We are now sons of God. And he said, before he left, he said, do business until I come. He said, occupy until I come. What he expects of us is to be available. Mm-hmm. The Bible says God uses the available vessels. Mm-hmm. So he just says, show up. You know, you are now that which I've made you to be. And just show up. As we're doing this cross reference, he says, arise and shine.
Amen.
For your light has come.
Amen.
And that is also a reflection of what was a declaration. Your light has come. He said that before this light, which is Jesus, fully comes on earth. So your light has come and the glory of God has risen upon you. And this is what we're doing here. The word of God is accomplished. And this is where you need to know whom you have believed. And you've heard the word of God and you just keep running, looking unto Jesus. And I believe that, you know, that's what we are doing. We just keep running, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And there is nothing that will stop the word of God. And he is faithful. You know, I was just also thinking yesterday that when we were trying to have fountain of his word some other ways, the Lord was just, so from time to time, saying in my heart, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. And I wouldn't understand. And I would think, okay, what is it? What is it? Okay, Lord, we're coming against the work that is not of God. But I didn't understand that it was about this work that we were now making a shake out there. Because we are now just trying to have it happen without really following the blueprint of God. And now we are at peace, knowing that this is what the Lord has proclaimed, that it shall be fountain of his word, and it shall be established upon that word. And what I love about that word that God has given us, he talks about in Psalm 110, it says, the Lord said, to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I have humbled your enemies under you. And we need to know that God is in the process of humbling the enemies of God, humbling the devil, because with all the pride and with all, I mean, that's all it is about. He was proud from the beginning and he wanted to be God, and that's what he is doing. And now even in your life, you can just look at what is it that is like rising up and making me to be like whatever. Just know that God humbles. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble. And we need to know that the enemies of God that rises up against God, the evil work is being taken down by God. He's humbling his enemies. And his enemies is just the devil. He called them enemies, but anyway, it's devil and his co-host of evil spirits. So he is being humbled in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. The other thing that I will just ask to reflect on is that we are in his army, and he has given us all the armor that we need. And a soldier, when he goes to war, he needs to count the cost. Have we counted the cost? Do we know what it will take for us to engage? And he expects us to engage. Amen. In the Bible, when Jesus was talking to Peter towards the end, it was after he has risen, and when he was talking to his disciples, and Peter was saying, "Hey, Jesus, how about John?" And Jesus said, "What is it about him? When I just continue follow me, forget about what he's doing." And that's what I was saying, like, we're looking at what is he doing, who, you know, let's just run our race. And Jesus asked, "What is it for you? Just follow me." So just take up your cross and follow him. Amen. This is a concluding word from the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 19. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And I think this verse just seals or really concludes our message. And we know that the Bible says God is the potter and we are the clay, and he is the one that molds us. And we are in this great house. We are now in the great house of God. We are the vessels of God. And which vessel are we choosing to be? In this verse, it's clear that as we cleanse ourselves, there is a part of cleansing ourselves, and we know what can cleanse us: the word of God. The Bible says this is the water of the way. It's the word of God that cleanses us. So let's allow the word of God to refresh us, to cleanse us. Amen. So that we can be found useful in the hands of God and in the house of God, to honor and to fulfill all his purposes. Amen. I believe I've delivered the message, and I thank God for this time. If I've missed anything, he will just continue in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's thank God for the word. Father, we give you praise this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have come down. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for you have chosen, Lord, to dwell among us. You took a form of man, Lord, so that we can be restored into the glory that you have predestinated us. So, Lord, we avail ourselves to you this morning. And we say, have your way in our lives. We give ourselves unto you, Lord Jesus. You are the author. You are the finisher of our faith. And we thank you. We were created for you. And we are yours. And we thank you, Lord, that as you give us the great commission to go and win the lost, Lord, we avail ourselves, Father. It is not about us, but it is all about what you have done, all your purposes, the call of Jesus to come on earth, to seek, to find, to save, and to restore. So, Lord, we avail ourselves for this great work. And we thank you, Lord, for you are fulfilling your word in us. We keep on running, Lord, looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.